Welcome to the Community Action League. The Community Action League is a weekly show that is a collaborative effort of local organizations and nonprofits. Our goal is to raise awareness of issues that impact people in Gallatin County, like consent, housing, transportation, human rights, and addiction. We also discuss the organizations that listeners can engage with that are relevant to these topics. On our show, we discuss the intersectionality, or connections, between these topics at the local, national, and global levels. If you are interested, you can tune in to KGBM 95.9 Bozeman to learn about issues impacting your community every Thursday at 7 p.m. Do you have a topic you'd like to hear about or comments about our show? Contact us at communityactionleague@gmail.com to request a topic or share your thoughts. And today we're going to talk about how to ensure a successful re-entry into society for folks that have been involved in the criminal justice system. So I'm lucky enough today to be joined by someone from Bozeman Job Services and someone from the Gallatin County Detention Center, as well as someone from the Gallatin County Reentry Program. So I'm going to start with Terry. Terry, do you want to tell us about what you do at Bozeman Job Services and or why you think it's important to work with this population?
I'm a workforce consultant at the Bozeman Job Service. I've been working with the reentry population for almost 11 years. I started out at the Gallatin County Pre-Release Center, providing classes to their residents, and then later on I became involved in the reentry task force, which helped build the new jail, and I now go to the detention center once a week and provide services to their inmate job seekers.
And how does that work, just super quick? Is it folks that are staying overnight in the detention center that get out during the day to work, or is it folks that you're trying to help find jobs when they're released, or I guess kind of what is it that you're working with?
At this point, there is no work release program at the Gallatin County Detention Center, so those individuals can be there anywhere from a month to maybe 6-8 months before their sentence or they're sent over to Montana State Prison, or else they can be released back in the community, and I help prepare a lot of those individuals to do their job search. And just recently we had our first job fair at the detention center, which was the Jails to Jobs program, where we actually had employers come in and interview individuals, people who were interested and were going to be released shortly.
Mm-hmm. Out of curiosity, do you also help the job seekers in the detention center with things like their resumes or interview, like practice interviews, or how to address the fact that they have been involved in the criminal justice system?
Yes, I help them prepare for their interviews, mm-hmm. Especially if they have a felony history, how to address that to the employer. I also work on resumes with them and interview skills, cover letters, and also the detention center has the opportunity for some individuals to participate in a pre-apprenticeship program. Mm-hmm. Like the pre-release, there's a pre-apprenticeship program where individuals can study to get into apprenticeship careers.
I'm going to want to learn more about that. But first, we should meet everyone else. So, actually, let's turn it over then to Jackie. And Jackie, I believe you work at the Gallatin County Detention Center, and I think you said you'd been there for
12 years.
12 years. All right. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about you.
Thank you. I'm Jackie Curie-Lemon, and I'm the program director at the Gallatin County Detention Center. As you said, I've been there 12 years. And my job is to find resources to bring into the detention center volunteers to meet with inmates to help with things like addiction and anger management, parenting classes, money management, just a wide variety of programs to help them learn skills so when they get out they can maybe make some better choices and move down the road to a positive path.
And before we introduce our last guest speaker, I do want to ask you, Jackie, you say volunteers to come in and help with these things. Are some of these, are they just volunteers off the streets? Are they sometimes working with organizations? Like I know you mentioned, you know, parenting skills and that sort of thing. Are you working with other organizations like Thrive and other community organizations that may already have some of these resources in place?
We do both. We take volunteers from different organizations. We work with Alcohol and Drug Services, AA, Job Service, of course. We work with Gallatin Mental Health. And we also have a number of churches that are involved that come in. It's pretty interesting, the mix. I've got over 150 volunteers providing over 40 programs each week to the inmates.
And are you in charge of keeping all of that straight?
That is right. I'm very fortunate. Our sheriff and our previous sheriff believe that helping inmates to re-enter into the community, reduce recidivism was very important. And they put programs and a program director in place. And it does take somebody a lot of hours to put all that together.
Well, I'm glad you've been there for 12 years now to help make that happen. We'll turn it over now to Melissa Kelly.
So my name's Melissa Kelly, and I'm the program administrator of the Gallatin County Reentry Program. I'm also a licensed addictions counselor. We've been open for nearly 13 years now, the Pre-Release Center. And our program is a six-month program where people getting out of prison, jails, or other treatment programs within the Department of Corrections come to live for 6 months, like I said, transitional living. Mm-hmm. So residents will work full-time. They also have to complete treatment groups while they're at the center. Some treatment groups they might have to complete would be emotional regulation, cognitive skills and restructuring, also parenting, as well as job skills and development with job service. Also, part of their six-month program is that the residents are mandated to complete 55 hours of community service. And so each resident, when they complete the program, will have that completed. And some of the programs we work with in the county here are Eagle Mount, Sachs, also local churches, and Rock Wheels.
It honestly sounds to me like you all are very well connected in the community and work together with a lot of different organizations and churches and just groups of people to help make the reentry into society a little more successful for this population. Terry, do you want to tell us a little bit more about how Bozeman Job Services fits so well in with a partnership with the detention center?
Well, it fits really well with the detention center and the individuals who are at the pre-release center. Right now we have an unemployment rate of 2.3. Mm-hmm. It's one of the lowest in the counties, and actually Montana is one of the lowest in the nation. And because of that, employers are desperately searching for employees, and the individuals who have been incarcerated or who have a record, they typically have a harder time finding employment and usually are underemployed. Mm-hmm. It's estimated that the United States loses between $78 and $87 billion of productivity every year. This population is an untapped resource, and a lot of them have talents that employers are really needing right now. And especially if they're going through some of the programs at the pre-release center, they're also developing some soft skills that are really essential to be successful in the workplace.
Absolutely, and you had mentioned that you all just did your first job fair there. Did you get a good response from employers, do you feel like, with wanting to be involved with that?
The job fair was actually at the Gallatin County Detention Center, but the next time we do have the Jails to Job event will be February 15th, and we are actually inviting the residents at the pre-release center to join us as well. And we did have a very good response by the employers. We recruited 8 employers, and 6 of them were able to show up on that day. We had a total of 16 interviews, 8 inmate job seekers, and several offers of employment.
That's fantastic. And is it one of those things with the February event that you plan to hold, if there was a business in town interested in possibly being part of that, would they call Bozeman Job Service and just ask?
Secretary Knutson, call our office and ask for myself, and I can set them up and put them on the schedule.
Absolutely. And I know one thing I was wondering is, I guess, kind of what is the difference between a detention center and a prison? Because I know, as Melissa mentioned, with the pre-release program. Yep. Sorry. Reentry program, not pre-release.
Yep, that's
I guess one other thing that I was wondering is if we could talk about the difference between what a detention center is and what a prison center is, because I know Melissa mentioned working with folks in the reentry program that come from both places. So, Jackie, do you want to tell us, since you're at the detention center, what the difference is?
Certainly. A detention center is mostly made up of folks who are pre-trial. They have not had their day in court. They've been arrested on an offense. They're unable to bond out, and they're housed there. During that time, we are providing them programs and helping them plan to get back to the community. 97% of inmates are released back to the community. So we want to help them succeed. You know, everyone in our jail is somebody's son, daughter, brother, sister, mother, you know, father, grandma, grandpa. We have a wide variety, and we want to help our community because they are members. Mm-hmm.
And actually, you're mentioning, obviously, a span of ages and genders and all those things. Do you feel like there is one specific group of people that you see more than others, or it's just kind of a wide swath?
We work with males and females age 18 and up. We do find probably the age range of males in their 20s and 30s to be our highest population, but we do range from people turning 18 and into their 80s even at times.
Mm-hmm. And so after folks have been through the process of going to court and all that, if they are sentenced, are they ever sent back to the detention center, or if they receive a sentence, do they go on to a prison?
Prison would only be for someone who's been found guilty of a felony, but there are a number of DOC programs that they have an opportunity to participate in if the judge and the probation officer are willing to provide that opportunity. For inmates with misdemeanors, they can come back and spend a day or two or 30 days in the facility. A person can only be sentenced to the detention center for 1 year at maximum, mm-hmm. and so we have a variety of people who are felony misdemeanors. In each case, not everyone's found guilty. Sometimes they don't ever come back.
Fantastic. And I know before we started the show today, I was chatting with you all informally, and I was learning that Bozeman has an especially low recidivism rate. Does somebody want to talk about that a little bit, maybe an idea of what it is, how much higher or lower, why you think that might be, that sort of thing?
Okay, we have been tracking the recidivism rate at our facility for the last, it'll be 8 years, and when we started we were up around 50%, and that means an individual reoffends, comes in on a new charge. And over the years, as we've added programs, it's been reducing. We're down to 18% now. Mm-hmm. We also have a reentry program. Terry talked about that. We have a social worker who helps them and plans and meets them on the outside and works with them, or they can go on to wonderful programs like Melissa Lee Center. So we definitely feel that the programs are what makes a difference, along with our wonderful staff. Our officers are very positive and help the inmates to succeed, and that's a big part of what goes on because they see those officers 24 hours a day.
Absolutely. And Melissa, a question for you is, are there similar programs like what you're doing in other jails across the country, or other detention centers, I guess you should say, across the country? And if so, are they as robust as yours, not as much? What do you think?
There's several other reentry facilities in Montana. Our reentry facility is primarily for men. Mm-hmm. Other facilities throughout the state are in Butte, Montana. There's Billings and Helena, Missoula, Great Falls, all have pre-release centers like ourselves.
So I guess kind of on that note, do you get folks who are part of your pre-release program that aren't from Bozeman or aren't going to stay in this area after they are released?
We do. We, at our pre-release, we're smaller than other pre-releases. That makes us very unique, and it also gives us the added benefit of being really hands-on with our residents and knowing the ins and outs of their days. One of the other benefits of that is that we're really able to work with employers and have our residents assist the employers. We usually have the same employers employing many of the residents because they've done such a nice job. Some of the benefits from our pre-release, again, is that they're tested. They get breathalyzer tests to make sure they're not drinking. We get at least weekly urinalysis testing to make sure they're clean and sober and living a life of recovery. And so many of the employers we work with love our residents because they have 6 months of guaranteed hard work, clean and sober time. Mm-hmm. The thing that makes us unique is that it's a therapeutic community. And when we have a therapeutic community in a pre-release center, we get to take situations that residents may have during work. Let's say they walk past maybe an old bar they used to go to, and they'd have a craving and they don't know how to handle it. So the residents are able to come back to our facility and speak with counselors. We have substance abuse counselors at the facility and case managers, social worker type individuals who really are able to help them figure out, okay, what did you do right? What could we do different? How do we handle this thought? And really that hands-on life experience with some help and guidance is what makes us so, I think, different than other places just because we're so small.
Mm-hmm. And when you say so small, approximately what is your capacity? And I guess, are you always at capacity or do you often have space?
We're definitely always at capacity, and we are we have 32 beds for the Department of Corrections, and we also have a contract with the county for 6 beds. And so compared to other facilities, I think There are places that have up to 200 mm-hmm. beds in different areas. And so again, part of our charm, I think, is that we are small and are able to spend so much time with the residents, giving them hand-on assistance and help.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about, you keep using the word facility, which is great, but I'm also curious, is it kind of like a home? Is it kind of like a jail or a detention center? Sorry, is detention center is probably the proper word, not jail, correct?
Yeah. So our facility is like a home.
Okay.
We have visitation at the facility. So there's four bedroom areas, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like a college dorm style. And so at any time, a resident could leave if they wanted to leave. It's not locked down. It's not secure. And so what that says is the majority of all the residents at our facility definitely want to be there. And they know this is their next step to freedom, mm-hmm. where they are able to manage their lives on their own. We have kids that come for visitation, so we have a visitation room, we have fish. It's really, again, a therapeutic environment. And there's a lot of recovery-based pictures on the wall, and what we are really looking for is to provide an environment where they can thrive in their new lives and really learning to reinvent themselves and new ways of thinking so they can be successful in their lives instead of going back to the same old routine, same old friends, same old community areas.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about that same old mm-hmm. sort of mentality, I did have a friend in my 20s whose mother had been, she'd served some time for drug dealing. And he always found that what he thought made both her and his stepdad get very sober is moving mm-hmm. somewhere different and getting away from all of that. So I guess, do you feel like that, I mean, that was just an anecdotal thing. Mm-hmm. Is that something that often can really affect people? And if so, do you encourage people or try to help people find a way to not return to the exact same community they came from? Or is that?
So it really depends on each person, and it's different for each person. So a lot of times residents who live at our center are not able to stay in Bozeman because of the cost of living. And that is such a detriment to them because Bozeman does have so many wonderful, healthful opportunities for people here. I guess there's a lot of people that do very well in Bozeman who are able to stay here, and they get connected with the right support groups. And as long as you have a really amazing, strong support group, no matter where you are, no matter where they choose to go, they should be able to cope and live very healthy lives.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose people could choose to go to, I guess, move after they've ended the pre-release program to anywhere in the country, but are you well connected to other places in Montana to help them if they wanted to set up in Kalispell or something to connect them to resources that exist there?
Absolutely, and that's part of our case manager's positions is they are well connected throughout the entire state, and they help with all the discharge planning in conjunction with the Department of Corrections probation officers, which in our town are very active and very easy to work with, and in my experience, tend to assist us if any questions or anything like that. Some of the things we have to really look into are what type of 12-step meetings might be in the community they're going to. What can we do to set up medication appointments for them and medical appointments? And really staying connected with other communities is very important to the success of our residents.
Fantastic. And it seems like you all definitely are very wanting to ensure that your residents and clients get the best help and care that they can. And since you've all been at your jobs for so long, I know obviously this population has a special place in your heart. And does one of you want to tell us why you like to work with folks that are involved in the criminal justice system?
You know, it's interesting. I kind of came upon this position. I do have a master's in public administration, working for the government. And when I was able to see the position, I thought that would be interesting, and I did fall in love with the work. It's sometimes sad, but we see a lot of successes, and people do come back. And in those cases, we support them. We don't, you know, put them down. We realize people need to go through this kind of up and down motion when they're recovering, and we support them, and it's pretty fun to see someone in the community who's succeeded, and they'll tell me their story, and it's very fulfilling to hear that people have succeeded based on all the programs we're providing.
I kind of came upon working with the reentry population about 11 years ago when the pre-release center asked me to do a class, and it just stuck. And what I really like is the gratitude that this population has, and overcoming their obstacles. It's very inspiring. And there are so many programs out there that are available to this one, especially the pre-apprentice program, which has been really successful at the pre-release center. We've had two individuals who completed the pre-apprentice program and then have become apprentices with companies, so their future looks very bright, and to turn their life around, that's very gratifying for me.
Mm-hmm. Working with the residents and the staff members that I get to each and every day has driven me for the past 14 years, working with difficult population. I agree with Ms. Terry when she said there's nothing more inspiring to see people overcome their issues and keep working even though there's so many obstacles in front of them. Mm-hmm. I also think the people that we get to work with are so funny, and they're humorous, and they have great sense of humor. And there's never a day that I'm not at work that I don't laugh and find joy, because I get to see the best of them because they are in recovery. They are living their best lives. And boy, I'll tell you what, in this day and age, it's hard for anybody to do, mm-hmm. let alone if you have felonies. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, and I definitely know I've had the pleasure, actually, and I was nervous at first, but I had the pleasure of talking to the pre-release group twice about sexually transmitted infections, and I didn't know what to expect because I think there were 30 or 40 of them in the room, and I thought, oh man, grown men, what's this going to be like? They were hilarious, yes, and completely respectful. At some point, a few of them were like chatting a little too much, and one guy on the side was like, hey everyone, the lady is talking, and they were all like, oh sorry, and I was like, this is the most polite group I've ever been in front of. I do work a lot with like fifth graders too. So I definitely think that there are some things about this population, a lot of kind of stereotypes that might exist. Does anybody want to talk a little bit about anything that surprised you when working with this population, or anything that you think are stereotypes that the community may have in general that aren't necessarily true?
I don't know that this is surprising, but I do believe that the folks who come into our facility, they're just people like you and I who've made a mistake. And that mistake can snowball into a lot of other things. So I look at each person as an individual and try to help them find what their need is to succeed. And we have some great success. So I'm pretty proud of what all the volunteers and staff do.
One of the things I think that is very important at the reentry program is that residents are actually able, hopefully for the first time, to see how their actions when they were using and drinking or committing crimes really affected the community. Mm-hmm. And so many times, due to the alcohol and drug intoxication and the level of denial that residents are in, they're not able to fully grasp how many problems they caused. For instance, if you have someone using drugs at a household, one of the fellows we've worked with talked about the story that he would sell drugs out of his house, and then how he made his neighbors unsafe by just having drugs in his house. And he said just, and then he corrected himself. He's like, not just, because that's justification, and that's not okay. But he said, I had traffic that came over to buy the drugs, which left my neighbor's children at risk, because some of the people that coming were not sober. He talked about how his neighbors probably felt very unsafe at night because, again, of the traffic, but also the type of people that were coming over. They weren't in the best shape. They were looking, you know, he'd often say that the people that would come over to buy the drugs were in horrible shape, physically, emotionally, and would, he's like, I don't know if they stole from my neighbors. How scary for my neighbors to have me buy them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the programming the Department of Corrections offers and treatment facilities throughout the state and through the detention centers and prisons is really about them understanding that the way they used to live their lives without regard for anybody else's safety and security and no respect for themselves is no longer an option, because if they want to be good citizens, they have to be accountable, mm-hmm. and they have to have empathy. And a lot of what we work with is instilling empathy. Is like, absolutely, it is heartbreaking for a mother to watch her son go down in flames due to heroin addiction and watch her son not be able to get out of bed. And we really discuss and get to try on how that would feel for them. And I think that's one of the reasons that the reentry program is so successful, is that through that process, we are able to really do some community restoration, and that's what the community service and giving back how do we pay back what we've taken is really some of the themes at the pre-release center that we work with the residents with every day. One of the best activities that we have going right now is a monthly outing that we go to the Gallatin Nursing Home and we go bowling with the residents at the nursing home. And it is an hour and a half of pure fun and enjoyment and giving back selflessly. And that's something that many of our residents and have not done in a long, long time. And so I think that, again, is one of the most important things that hopefully people can learn that we work with. So if they really want to go back to the old ways, they really have to think hard and long about it before they do choose to go back.
I think one question I also have is when you talk about the reentry program and folks kind of noticing how their actions affect all of society is the fact that it sounds like it's a very vulnerable situation for them to be in and have to do that. When they are meeting with their counselors or the drug and alcohol services folks in your program, is it often one-on-one? Is it part of a group? How do they do being vulnerable with each other?
The majority of our residents have done completed primary treatment, so they're in group. They've been through group processes and individual counseling. We offer both group and individual counseling at our reentry program. And honestly, the best teachers with the guidance of the counselors are the residents themselves. You have people who are 19 who just started committing crimes, and you've had people who are 55 and relapsed and maybe had 10 years clean and sober, so they know what it's like to live a crime-free life. And so we have a lot of literally like older residents mentoring younger residents and vice versa. They get to really reenact what is a healthy relationship and how does that look like for you? How does that feel? A lot of those relationships within the group process, like you said in your experience, someone called someone out and said, yeah, shh, be quiet. In that interaction alone, someone had to be accountable. Someone's like, yep, my bad, got back into what we need to do as a society. And so being vulnerable is something that our residents certainly don't like to do at all, but it is imperative that they are able to be vulnerable in order to heal and then put their best foot in front of each other and start going again.
And what about at the detention center? Do you have folks as well who are going through either addiction counseling is that some of the programs that you're offering as well?
Definitely. We have counselors that come in from alcohol and drug services, but inmates in the detention center tend to be shorter term stay, where if they're staying at the reentry program for 6 months, they see somebody daily, where we'll have a volunteer come in once a week to do a group. So not as intense, but they get introduced to the ideas of the recovery, and we see a large percentage of our inmates dealing with drugs or alcohol on top of whatever else might be their charge.
And actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I realized I went off on down the drug and alcohol road, because it seems like that's something that probably you do see a lot of in part of the reason that folks get into various trouble, maybe bad decisions. So it is a decent number of folks that are coming through that have that going on. So going back a little bit, Melissa, you talked about how the pre-release program helps folks think about how their actions affect their communities and how to be better community members moving forward. But maybe one of you can tell us, are there any other benefits to having the detention center and folks who've been through the criminal justice system in our community?
Speaking from a job service perspective, if an individual is employed, they're less likely to reoffend, which helps our recidivism rate. Also, having a strong labor force benefits the Montana as a whole. If somebody is employed and not committing crimes, there's less demands on the sheriff's department, on the jail, and other resources in the community. It also promotes stronger families because the parents are intact and they're with their families rather than being incarcerated.
Since we're talking about jobs, you mentioned pre-apprenticeship programs. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit curious, how did those get started? What sort of apprenticeships are they? It sounds like they're successful, at least.
The pre-apprentice program is a program where individuals can do the book studies that they need for the trades programs, such as plumbing, electrician, carpenter. We even have some healthcare pre-apprentice programs available. And both of those programs are available at both the detention center and the pre-release center. It helps individuals get prepared for their jobs, and also it makes them more appealing to potential employers to know that, hey, this person has already completed a lot of the studying that they would need to do to this job. So the pre-apprentice program can start somebody off onto a career that is far more lucrative and can support a family much better than anything else.
And one thing I like about that is it sounds a little bit like you don't have to have an apprenticeship already lined up to do that. So you wouldn't necessarily have to know what's next. You could just say, you know, I've always been interested in plumbing and kind of get that out of the way and then find see if you could find an apprenticeship anywhere in the state or the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, that is true. And one of the things that we can do here at Job Service is if somebody is doing the pre-apprentice program at either the detention center or the pre-release center, is we can match them with employers who are looking for apprentices or for employers for their positions. So it works out for both of us.
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned, Jackie, over at the detention center, you have about 150 volunteers. Does a person just come in and say, I kind of like to volunteer and I would love to talk to people about knitting? Or what? I mean, how do you get these volunteers? How does that work?
Certainly. We're looking for volunteers who are providing a program that's going to help somebody move forward in their recovery. And if someone does have an interest, they can come in, talk to me. There is an extensive background check. We want to make sure we're safe, of course, for all of our volunteers, our staff, our inmates. And we discuss together what is a proper program that they might be interested in. I have them create a lesson plan, show me what their goal is, and then we'll find a spot. We're fortunate enough to have three different classrooms and a smaller classroom also that our volunteers can use, and that's a big problem in a lot of facilities, the space. But this was designed with that in mind, and then we just get rolling.
Are there any needs that you feel like you have right now for specific volunteers or anything like that? And your volunteers that you have that lead these different sorts of things, do most of them just come in and do it once or twice? Do you have people who stay and come weekly for years? How does that often look?
Absolutely. I've got people who've been there the whole time we've been in our new facility. Terry is one of them. We also have people, we ask that they commit at least a year. There's a lot of work to get someone approved to be a volunteer. And if they only come in and do something one time, it really is kind of not a benefit to us to go through all the training and the orientation and the background check. So most of our folks stay with us for years, and we've had people that continue come with new ideas, and that's kind of fun.
And maybe this is not appropriate to ask, so you don't have to answer this, but are there any programs that you just like love that you're like, yes, that was the best idea ever, that we should offer that?
One of the programs we have at the reentry program is the Intermountain Therapy Dogs come once a week, and they come and their dogs come, they come, they chat with the residents. A lot of our residents got out of prison or treatment and they've been locked up for numerous years, and so that might be the first time they see an animal hands-on pet a dog in a couple years. And so their weekly visits with the pups, definitely a highlight of our facility, and we're forever grateful for them.
I like it. And the dogs don't have to be screened. And I know we talked about the reentry program. All of the folks over there are male. What about at the detention center? Do you have a male side and a female side, and do you have transgender folks? And I guess what populations would people possibly be volunteering with?
Well, absolutely all of them. We have 9 housing units. We call them pods. Right now, 2 are for female and 7 are for male. And on occasion, we do have someone come through who's transgender. And again, like every inmate, we look at them individually and just determine the best housing for them. And volunteers work with all of our inmates, except those who are on disciplinary, because they have to finish that disciplinary time before they can attend a group.
Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, I got the joy of staying overnight at the new facility 8 years ago before you all opened. And I was picked to be one of the people who was a difficult inmate. And so I was in the more secure lockdown area. And I was told when I was there, and I'm guessing this is still the case, that people aren't decided whether they can be in with groups of other people or have to be off more by themselves by the crime they commit, but rather how they interact with other people in the facility. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We are a behavior-based facility, and we definitely look at a number of things, their behavior, are they following rules, are they causing problems, and if they're following the rules and behaving, they get to move to our general population where they have some more opportunities, regular things like chairs that move around and vending machines, and they can attend more types of programs. If somebody's being difficult, they're on the harder side where, you know, the stools are attached to the floors, there's no vending machines, and it makes a difference. People really want to earn those programs and those visitation times with their family, that type of thing.
So speaking of volunteers, you obviously have volunteers in the reentry program as well. Do you want to tell us about any needs that you have there, or maybe you're full for volunteers, or kind of what does that look like?
We love our volunteers. We have about 50 approved. Again, same kind of scenario as the detention center, background checks, training before people can volunteer at the facility. One of the things that we really appreciate, and one of the agencies, and is definitely, I appreciate the job service for coming in. They work with us every week. We also have the faith-based community mentoring programs, and I think a lot of the residents really benefit from that, is having a mentor who definitely is not a criminal mentor, it's a pro-social mentor to teach them skills one-on-one. And I think if there's any need that we do have, it would be pro-social, strong mentors. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of support and help from the 12-step or self-help programs in the community, and we really, really enjoy all the work that they do with our residents.
And Melissa, if somebody wanted to be a volunteer mentor, would they just call you? And are there specific requirements for them? Like, do they have to be a certain age, or do they have to go through some sort of training for that? Or is it just kind of like they can help identify the needs and fill those needs as it comes up?
Anyone who's at our facility that wants to be a volunteer has to be 18 years old or more. They have to have limited criminal history, no violent offenses, no sex offenses, nothing that would put our staff or our residents at risk. Also, they'd have to have a skill set that would be appropriate for our residents. I ask that anyone who would be interested in mentoring or doing maybe some one-on-one work would be able to contact me at the Pre-Release Center, Melissa Kelly, mm-hmm. at 406-994-0300, extension 1113.
Random question, because I just heard you say 994. Isn't that the university's mm-hmm. extension too? Are you all connected to the university?
Not at all.
All right. So before I let the three of you go here, the folks I have joining me today from Bozeman Job Services, the Gallatin County Detention Center, and the Gallatin County Reentry Program, before I let you go, I want to ask, is there any stories that you want to tell us or any other benefits that you feel we should know about from working with this population?
Well, this is Terry from Job Surface again. One of the things that the employers have benefits of hiring those individuals who are re-entering society. Some of them, of course, are financial, such as the tax credit, which they can earn up to $9,600 in tax. They can also apply for the federal bonding program. But also, some things that are immeasurable is there's some studies that show that this population is far more loyal to their employers than other people, and they're less likely to recidivate if they're employed. So there are a lot of benefits to the employer if they hire some individuals, and especially if they're going through the programs that are available through the pre-release center. A lot of these job seekers that I work with, they want to work and they will support a drug-free environment at work. So that's also another benefit to the employer.
Mm-hmm. I think briefly, I'd like to touch some of the financial benefits to the community of having residents or offenders not locked up, mm-hmm. but able to serve part of their sentences in the community in a transitional living program like ours, is that they're able to work. And what that means for many of our residents is they're able to send money home to their families. And so residents last year sent nearly $200,000 to their families instead of possibly their families using social support services for their well-being and income. Also last year, the residents were able to pay almost $500,000 in taxes, fines, fees, and regulations. So the benefit financially to our community is amazing, to have them out working and paying their taxes, taking care of their families, and again, being accountable and responsible for their families. One of the best stories that I can really remember is a gentleman got out of treatment and he had a really terrible addiction to Oxycontin and prescription drugs, and he had stolen items from his family, and he was prosecuted and sent to treatment for 6 months. So when he was sent to treatment, his wife was just newly pregnant. And he went to treatment. He was able to get out a little bit early and come to us. And when she lived here in town, and so we were able to assist him in getting up to the hospital, and he was able, sober and clean, to watch his baby be born. And I guess the real benefit to all that was that he was able to watch his daughter at the center 3 times a week. And so when his wife would work, the baby would come to the center, and we'd all get some baby loves and some joy. And it really, again, was a testament to putting in the time, the effort into helping people get better from addiction issues and their criminal thinking, and allowing them to become themselves. And there was no better story than or outcome to watch this man hold his baby.
And as a mother of a toddler, I have to say, definitely, you need that time, especially when there's so little to bond with them. And if that had been not there for the first few months of that child's life, that could be detrimental to both of them for the foreseeable future. So, well, thank you so much, all of you, for joining me today. Mm-hmm. Again, Melissa Kelly from the Gallatin County Reentry Program says you can give her a call anytime if you'd like to volunteer with the reentry program. And Jackie Keary also says the Gallatin County Detention Center loves to have volunteers. So give them a call down there if that's something you're interested in. Oh, and there's one more thing I wanted to shout out, only because this is like something that I've personally needed. We all know there seems to be a bit of a shortage of community rooms that are available for use in this town. So if any of you are looking for a community room, I was asking Jackie about the detention centers has a big community room down there that they use for training during the day. But she said often it's available evenings and weekends. And you know, since there's somebody there 24 hours a day, if you're having a meeting on a Friday night at 8 p.m., they're going to be able to open the doors for you. So give the Gallatin County Detention Center a call if you ever want to use their community room. And thank you so much for joining me. Y'all have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.